Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, as we come to your word this morning, I pray that you would guide and direct us into your truth. Thank you that your word is unchanging. Thank you that you fulfill every promise that you have spoken in your word. Lord, we're grateful for the eyewitness accounts in the Gospels. We thank you that you appeared to your disciples after you rose from the grave, verifying that, yes, indeed, the resurrection is true. And I pray, O Lord, as we come and read this account, I pray that you would increase our faith as well, that even though we can't see Jesus with our physical eyes, we would see Jesus by the eyes of faith. So open our eyes, give us ears to hear, O Lord, what you are speaking even this morning. And may we go away loving Jesus more and knowing that we have a great hope because of the resurrection. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You will never guess what I'm seeing. I was on the phone with my mom the other day, and I was updating her on what was going on in our lives. And I was giving her some rather mundane details of what's been happening, and she started to laugh. Like, I didn't think what I was telling her was anything funny at all. But no, she was seeing something on her end of the phone that made her chuckle. And no, I could never guess what she was seeing. It was my 23-year-old brother was riding a tricycle in my mom's kitchen. And I'm no, I couldn't guess what I'm seeing, Mom. Unexpected, yes. Unbelievable, no. Especially if you know my brother. He loves to ride unicycles and bicycles, and apparently tricycles as well. We have heard of weirder things happen than grown men riding tricycles in the house. But sometimes we hear a story, and that story stretches our imagination to its limits. And we say, I'll believe it when I see it. You've probably all been there. Somebody's big fish story or something like that. And that's how often people treat the resurrection. They say, inconceivable. In our text this morning, we'll find one such man, Thomas. And when he heard about the resurrection, he says, unbelievable. I'll believe it when I see it. And let's look at his response to the resurrection. So John 20, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, or the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And John says, and many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Today, we're going to do something very simple. We're going to look at Thomas's response to the resurrection, and then we're going to consider our response to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So first, Thomas's response. As we read earlier in our scripture reading, Thomas had not been there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples that resurrection evening. His response is this: I will believe it when I see it. We might be inclined to say, come on, Thomas, why don't you believe? 10 of your friends saw Jesus Christ standing right in front of them, and you don't believe what they saw. If 10 of your friends all saw the same thing, you would think that you would believe them. But in Thomas's mind, it was inconceivable that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Jesus had even predicted he would rise from the dead before he was crucified. I think we should be a little bit easy on Thomas. He's human like we are. The other disciples saw Jesus standing right there in front of them, before their very eyes, in the same room with them. They didn't have a choice to believe a report of a friend or not. They saw Jesus standing right in front of them, in the same room with them. Thomas only heard with his ears that Jesus was raised from the dead. He did not see. His faith was weak. Really, let's face it, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is inconceivable from an earthly perspective, that he would rise from the dead. 8 days later, in our passage, Thomas was with the rest of the disciples. It was a Sunday. He said 8 days later. In the reckoning of the Jews, Sunday to Sunday was 8 days. There's 8 total days in there. So Jesus first appeared to the disciples on Easter Sunday evening, and then again the next Sunday they were all together. So, application, don't miss church. Something unbelievable could happen when you're gone. So Jesus appears the second time when all 11 disciples are there. Judas had died previously. And he says, peace be with you. When he first appeared, he said that twice. He says it again when he appears this time. When someone just appears in a room with you, you should be freaked out, okay? This is not normal. So that's why he calms them down, says, peace be with you. If that surprise wasn't enough, especially for Thomas, what Jesus says to Thomas is even more of a surprise. And you know, when you're talking with someone, you're talking with a friend about someone else, and that someone else shows up behind you, you feel that embarrassment and shame. When I was in college, I had a couple of friends standing in line in the cafeteria, and one of them was doing an impression of one of the professors. Always a dangerous thing to do, especially when the professor shows up right behind you in the lunch line. So think of that shame and embarrassment that you feel when you're talking about someone and they show up. Multiply that by 1,000, and that should be the feeling that Thomas had. This is not Thomas's friend, per se, that showed up. This is Jesus, God in flesh, that showed up. And you had just challenged him. Say, I won't believe unless I see. This is the risen Savior who you doubted. And there he stands in front of you. What do you say? As a skillful surgeon of souls, Jesus commences heart operation on Thomas. He says, here I am. I'm real. My wounds that were inflicted for you are here in front of you for all to see. Believe in me. And he ends with this in verse 27. And be not faithless, but believing. In a better translation would probably be, don't be an unbeliever, but be a believer. What was Thomas's response? Shock? What he says next is not some kind of exclamation like a profanity, as some have said, some commentators, but this is one of worship. My Lord and my God. Jesus, the only Lord, the only ruler of the universe, was speaking to Thomas and challenging his words of doubt. God himself was standing in front of Thomas. And the only appropriate response is worship. My Lord and my God. Now, those early disciples had no hesitations about calling Jesus God, because he is God. This is not just a theological statement. You know, theologians can debate, what does it mean that he called Jesus my Lord and my God? Well, it's very clear what it means, but it's not just a theological statement. It's a statement of intense personal trust in the Lord. So you see, Thomas's faith is growing, and he worships Jesus, my Lord and my God. So Thomas first doubted, then he believed, and he worshiped when Jesus appeared. That's Thomas's response. What is our response to the resurrection? What is our response to the resurrection? Jesus didn't just show up for Thomas. He showed up before Thomas for you, for us reading this passage, so that we can grow in our faith. See, John writes in verses 30 to 31 that the signs, or the miracles of Jesus, are recorded for us, so that we may believe. Look at chapter 19 of John, so flip back a page. Or John 19, verse 34. This is the crucifixion. And it says here, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced Jesus' side, and forthwith came there out blood and water, showing that Jesus was clearly dead. And he saw it and bare record, and this his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. So John's reporting that someone witnessed that Jesus was truly dead, and he says, I'm writing these things down so that you may believe. Eyewitness testimony is vital for the proof and for the spread of the gospel. The gospel would have not spread if the resurrection was a hoax. People would have not laid down their lives for Jesus Christ if this was all false. No, it is very true, and we have eyewitness testimony to prove it. Jesus' death and his resurrection were witnessed by many people, not just to encourage their faith, but to encourage our faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 29, the King James does a good job of translating this verse. And Jesus' statement to Thomas, some of you might have a question in your Bibles, but it's a statement to Thomas. He says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Thomas didn't have false faith because he saw with his eyes. He had weak faith. He did have faith. Christ's physical appearance propped up his faith. Even though we weren't there with those first disciples to see Jesus Christ, we stand with them when we believe the words they wrote for us. And God's favor is upon us. We're blessed if we believe the words they have written, even though we do not see Jesus Christ with our physical eyes. It says here that the miracles or the signs of Jesus were written down for us so that we would believe. What do we believe? Belief or faith has an object. Belief in what? Faith in what? People may say to you, just have faith, or you just got to believe. Often they mean, believe in yourself. And my dear friends, that is a very bad place to place your faith, in yourself. Verse 31 sums up the whole Gospel of John in four key words. So if you want to know the message of the entire book of John, read verses 30 to 31. He says, I've written these things. And see, these are four key words or phrases that help us understand the message of the Gospel of John. Number one, believe. Number two, Jesus the Christ, or the Messiah. Number three, Jesus the Son of God. And number four, life. Those are the four words we can use to sum up the Gospel of John. So first, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the promised Savior, the one who will rescue us from our sins. And the only way he could do that was to die on the cross in our place. Jesus is also the Son of God. He is very God himself. He is God who took on humanity. The only way that the cross works is for Jesus to be perfect. Because only a perfect person could be a sacrifice in our place. And he did that for you. All 21 chapters of this book point to this fact, that by believing in Jesus Christ, by believing that Jesus is the Savior for your sins, that he is God himself, you can have life forever. That's the Gospel of John. Perfect life forever. Not in this world, but in a perfect universe. And we have new life here and now. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Christ's death and resurrection make this gospel possible. So what is your response to the resurrection? That's the question today. You can debate whether or not the resurrection was true. We have eyewitness accounts right in the scriptures in front of us. So what is your response to the resurrection? Let's consider, is it doubt or belief? Those are the two responses, doubt or belief. Some people say, I won't believe Jesus unless I see him. Some people demand that they see Jesus before they believe. And when they say that, this is what they're demanding. Unless Jesus does exactly what I want, I won't believe him. And maybe you've been there. And I've heard people say this before. Unless God heals my relative, I won't believe in Jesus. Unless God brings back my child, I won't believe. Those are some heart-wrenching questions. If God did do what you want, would you still believe in him? Thousands of people saw Jesus here on earth. They saw his miracles. Jesus gave them what they wanted to some extent. Then they rejected and crucified him. If Jesus did exactly what you wanted, would it actually be faith if you believed in him? Faith takes a hold of Christ for who he says he is. He's not our personal genie in a bottle. He is not a heavenly therapist. He is not a cosmic vending machine. He is the Lord. He is the Savior, and he is God. John writes this gospel for us to believe that Jesus is the very Lord of the universe, in human flesh and that he is God. So we got to believe Jesus Christ for who he says he is. That's faith. And I like what Jesus does for Thomas. This is what Jesus doesn't do. When he showed up the first time, you know, you tell Thomas this message for me. Grow up, Thomas, and believe in me. Seriously, I really did rise from the dead. That's not what happened. Jesus could have done that. He says, you know, since Thomas didn't think it was important to be with you all today, give him this message for me. No, he didn't do that. He shows up. He didn't have to do that for Thomas, but he does. And he blasts away every doubt that Thomas had. So first Thomas said, I won't believe him. And then Thomas says, my Lord and my God. What's the difference? Jesus showed up. My prayer today for you is that you, if you have doubts about Jesus Christ, that Jesus would show up and blast those doubts away. Not appear before your physical eyes, even though that would be pretty cool, but to the eyes of your heart, to the eyes of faith. When Jesus shows up to the eyes of your heart, he may not take away those roadblocks to belief that you have. He may not do that. But he will give you himself. And having Jesus is far better than anything you think you need in order to believe. Because you got Jesus. One pastor calls Jesus' appearance to Thomas a miracle of kindness. A miracle of kindness. That's what you need to believe. You need a miracle of kindness. And if you do not believe today, I pray that Jesus would show up to the eyes of your heart. My plea is to believe Jesus for who he is, Lord and God. Make him my Lord and my God. Come bow before him, worship him, trust him, believe him for who he says he is, and he will save you from your sins and satisfy your soul. That's our Jesus. So that's, do you doubt or do you believe the resurrection? So the second response is that of faith. Did Thomas have faith? Yes, he did. Verse 29 says so. It is easy to blame Thomas and say, I would never do what Thomas did. You know, if I was Thomas, I would so believe that Jesus Christ appeared to my friends. Really? We all struggle to believe at times. We're humans. We're sinners. And I love what the British pastor J.C. Ryle says about our passage. It's a longer quote, but it's beautiful. He says this, a passage of scripture like this was written for the special comfort of all true believers. The Holy Ghost knew well that the dull and the slow and the stupid and the doubting are by far the most common type of disciples in this evil world. He got to call you slow, stupid, and doubting. I don't know how you feel about that. The Holy Ghost has taken care to supply abundant evidence that Jesus is rich in patience as well as compassion, and that he bears with the infirmities of all his people. That's Jesus Christ. He is patient and compassionate with us when we don't believe him, when we doubt him, even as Christians. So this is written for us because we're slow to believe often. Our faith is reinforced when we read this account of what Christ has done for us. Jesus meets us where we are. Not where we think we should go. Jesus meets us where we are. Dull, slow, stupid and doubting, weak, weary, worn and sad. Jesus gives himself to us to increase our faith. You don't improve yourself first, then come to Jesus. You come to Jesus as you are, and he will provide everything you're lacking. We come to Jesus by faith. That's clear in this passage. We should all know that. True faith is without physical sight. But this is how we see Jesus as Christians, by faith. We see him by faith. Do you want to see Jesus today? I pray that you do. Open your eyes and read the words on the page. Then you will see Jesus. Do you want to hear the voice of our Savior? Then open your ears and listen to the words of our Savior from John chapter 20. John used his hand to write with ink and paper this gospel so that we can read with our eyes and hear with our ears and see Jesus by faith. And that's how we see him today. J.C. Ryle says again, "The cry of the modern skeptic is this: if I could see, I would believe." People today say that. If I could see, I would believe. The answer of the Christian ought to be, if you would only believe and humbly ask for divine teaching, you would soon see. So, believing in Jesus is seeing Jesus. I want you today to see the resurrected Christ. And that's why I'm reading words. That's why I'm preaching words that you can hear. That's why you're opening your Bibles to see the ink on the page. Believe the message today and you will see Jesus. And you will be blessed. And brothers and sisters, if you believe Jesus in this world, you will see him in the next with your real physical eyes. We will see him face to face. Not as the humble Savior that came 2,000 years ago, but as the victorious, risen Lord of the universe. And that's why we wait. That's why we pray that we would walk by faith and not by sight. So we look forward to seeing that risen Savior when we will be resurrected with him. Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, thank you for this passage of Scripture that encourages our faith. Truly, Lord, we are slow to believe and we are dull. Lord, we are weak and weary and sad. And I pray that you would encourage our faith today, that we would believe these words and see Jesus. So, Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that does not believe in Jesus, that you would open their eyes to see him. And that you would save them from their sins, and that you would satisfy their soul. So, Lord, I pray that we would come to Jesus for who he is, the Lord of the universe, the Savior of the world, and God. We pray these things in his name. Amen.